The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as the children come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Now, if I can get this to work, I brought something this morning. Do y'all know what that is?
A light.
A light. Have you ever used a flashlight? How? How did you use it? To see in the dark? Yes, see in the dark. Yeah. So why do you have to see in the dark? Okay, you could get hurt easily. Have you ever been really afraid? When can you name a time that you've really been afraid? Okay. Going into something you were not familiar with, you didn't know what was in there, you might not know what was behind you, and it can be really scary. How many of you are scared of thunder? Yeah, me too. Last Tuesday night, we had this storm, and I don't have any little ones at my house, but I have two cats, and there was this loud burst of thunder, and there was more thunder in the house from the cats trying to find a place to hide. Well, in our lessons this morning, the Old Testament lesson, and in the song, it talks about God, Jesus, being our light. And because he is our light, we are told that we do not need to be afraid. He is always there for us. So it might be a good idea to carry a flashlight when you go outside in the dark, but let that flashlight remind you that we have a brighter light. We have God who is there to protect us, to be with us in all kinds of darkness. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being our light when it is so dark. Amen. Okay, and you may go back. Our chime players are going to stay.
Grace to you and peace, brothers and sisters, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When we turn on the evening news, or listen to the radio, or take a look through the newspaper or our favorite news website, it seems that every day they have an answer ready to go when we ask the question, whom shall I fear? Or what should I be afraid of today? Some voices in the political world are very ready to warn us about all the dangers in the world that we need to be afraid of. And just as quickly, other voices are there to tell us that it's those very first voices that we need to fear. One news company might be ready to warn us about the other, while the other warns us that the first one is lying to us. Even if we think we have a grasp on the truth, doubt and worry can creep in. And it can be all too easy for us to be caught up in these big picture worries and conflicts and agendas. And sure enough, we will find something to be afraid of. And when we move past these booming voices that know so well how to feed off our fears, we do not find our own lives without worry. For many of us, our fears can be much simpler and even more worrisome. Do we worry about where the money will come from to pay the rent? Or the mortgage? What about the utility bill that's always a few days late? Will they come out and shut off the electricity? Or will there be enough rain when we plant? And would crop insurance be enough to carry us through the year? What happens when we have to sell a parcel of land to stay afloat this year? And how will we make up the difference in the future? And for some, the fears are even smaller and yet all the more terrifying. Where will I find a meal tonight? Is there some place warm and dry I can sleep for even just one night? No matter where we are in the conversation about what it is we are worried about, we can all too quickly begin a downward spiral into our minds where we have all the answers when someone asks us, "Of whom or what shall I be afraid?" So when we speak the words of the psalmist, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, and the Lord is the stronghold of my life," our fear and worry can well up inside us, and these words ring hollow. Worry is such an insidious way that sin becomes manifest in our lives. In an instant, we are moved from being prudent stewards of the things that God has given us, careful planners seeking to faithfully care for the future, to people who have become consumed with doubt. And that consuming doubt does something else. It removes the name of God from our lips. It takes all our energy and focus and places them on our worry. And when our fears and worries become all-consuming, they become like gods in our lives, idols which we spend all of our energy trying to appease so that they will not attack us. Here, we can no longer hear the promise that our God will hide us in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal us under the cover of his tent. He will set us high on a rock when all the forces of the adversary are edging their way into our lives. But just because we can no longer hear the promise, that does not mean that the promise is no longer here. Because a promise was made to each of you, on the day that you were baptized. On that day, when you were marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever, a promise was made to each of you by the God of your salvation that he will not cast you off or forsake you. A promise was made that he will not hide his face from you. A promise was made that when we cry out to him from the depth of our pain, he will hear us. And a promise was made to each of you that because you are baptized into the death with Christ Jesus, you are baptized into eternal life with him. It is through our baptism into Christ Jesus that the prayer of the psalmist will become the promise fulfilled in our lives. It is through our baptism that we know that what we seek after in prayer today is what he will bring us into. In baptism, there is a promise made that all the days of our eternal lives will be lived out in the temple, in the house of the Lord. In baptism, we catch a glimpse of the promise he will fulfill when we are brought to him to behold the fullness of his beauty and glory. These are the promises that the Lord has made to each of you in your baptism. There are many promises made in baptism. And whenever we have too many answers to the question of whom shall I fear, we can be reminded every day that these promises are still there for us. Because there are other promises made in baptism as well. When a new person, an adult or a child, is baptized into the body of Christ, it is not only their family or their sponsors who make a promise to them. It is the whole community of baptized believers. Because the psalmist did not say, "One day my head will be lifted up above my enemies." They said, "Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." The promises that we all make to catechize new believers, to place the scriptures in their hands, to bring them to the house of worship, these exist so that when those days of worry or fear arrive, the baptized believer is not left alone to be attacked by the enemy. These promises exist so that we, all of us, may be continually nurtured in our faith by the community of faith. These promises exist so that each of us may experience the grace of God through the faces of each person who carries us through our journeys. These promises exist so that we may all, one day, sing and make melody to the Lord, shouting with joy that the Lord is the stronghold of our lives. The Lord is our light and our salvation. For there is none of whom we shall be afraid, because the Lord has made a promise to us, and there is no thing that can ever take us away from him. Amen.